Our gospel text this morning comes from Matthew's gospel. We are in the season of Matthew. We read this story of the transfiguration of Jesus from the 17th chapter, beginning with the first verse and continuing through the ninth. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, wasn't last Sunday a glorious day? We were gathered together in worship to celebrate 60 years of ministry and mission here in this place. The banner, the new banner, reminds us that all of this is possible because we are rooted and grounded in love. The music absolutely soared. Bishop Fairley preached a powerful word challenging us to live faithfully, lovingly into the future. We often call Sundays like this a mountaintop experience. Lifted us to heights that enable us to see far into the future. But a true mountaintop experience is not just a standalone event. Often it divides life into the time before and the time after. It signals a change. We all know something about change. You can name the events that changes have shaped you, the ones that you may be living through now and the ones that you hope for or maybe fear. The question isn't whether change will come. The question is, how do we live in the midst of it? What handholds are there that keep us from feeling like we are in free fall in the midst of change? What steadies us when everything else around us and inside of us seems to be shifting? The disciples in the gospel this morning may have been asking some of the same questions. Just before Jesus takes Peter and James and John up the mountain, he tells them that he must suffer and die and be raised again on the third day. And after they come down from the mountain, he reminds them of it again. The transfiguration happens between these two announcements of suffering and resurrection. And it stands in the middle of a time of impending change. Maybe that dazzling moment wasn't so much an escape from reality, but a preparation for it. Maybe it was meant to strengthen the disciples for what was coming. And maybe this story has something to teach us about living faithfully in times of change. That may be why we hear this gospel every year on the last Sunday after Epiphany. Just before we enter the season of Lent, a season that calls us to repentance, to transformation, and to deep change. Change isn't an exception in the Christian life. Change is woven into it. Whether we stand on a mountaintop of joy and celebration or walk into the valley of uncertainty or loss, change is always, always part of the journey. One thing I've noticed about change is how many voices begin to speak when things begin to change, right? Some of it comes from the outside, some of it comes from within ourselves. There are commentators who like to tell us what's happening, what we should be doing. There are voices of judgment, there are voices of fear, voices of second guessing. Within us, we hear self-doubt, self-criticism, choruses of would've, could've, should've. You been there? Some voices urge us to run for cover. Others tell us to fight. Some demand explanations. Others deny reality or predict catastrophe. So many voices during times of change compete for our attention, but not every voice deserves to be heard. Not every voice leads to life. On the mountain, as Peter proposes building three dwellings to hold on to the moment, a bright cloud overshadows them, and a voice speaks, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Listen to him. In the midst of change, there's one voice that matters above all the others. And that's the voice of Jesus. What if? I always love asking what if questions. What if in seasons, in times of uncertainty, we trained our hearts, our spirits to listen for him, for his voice? What if we let his concerns be our concerns? What if we let his desires shape our desires? What if we let his way of engaging the world become our way of engaging the world? What if we believed that his word is larger and more powerful than all of those other competing voices? You see, because in the midst of change, Jesus speaks a word of life, a word of hope, a word of forgiveness, a word of mercy, a word of courage, a word of love, a word of healing. Change doesn't have the final word. Jesus does. Matthew tells us that when the disciples heard this voice from the cloud, they fell to the ground overcome by fear. Of course they did. Wouldn't you? If you heard a voice coming from the cloud, I think that's what my reaction would be. That reaction feels very familiar. Change, whether it's joyful or painful, can knock us down, can knock our props out from under us. It can leave us feeling disoriented and overwhelmed and unsure. But you see what happens here. Jesus comes to them, and the scripture says Jesus touched them. And he says, get up. Do not be afraid. Now, many of y'all know that I am an absolute language nerd. I love to explore words and meanings of words and how they are used, especially in the scriptures. And this phrase that's translated get up is a rich phrase. It doesn't mean just you're down there, now get up. It's the same word, the same verb Matthew uses when Jesus tells the paralytic to stand up. When he takes the girl who has died by the hand and she rises, when he foretells his own resurrection, and when the angel announces he has been raised. Get up can mean be raised up. It's not something that we have to do under our own will or under our own power. It carries echoes of the resurrection. In other words, when change knocks us down, Jesus doesn't simply tell us to get over ourselves and stand up. It's Jesus who raises us up. It's Jesus who calls us to new life. That doesn't mean God causes every change. Loss or illness or disappointment, all of these things are very real and they're very painful. But it does mean that God does not waste them. God works within the changing circumstances of our lives to draw forth new life, even if we can't see it yet. Most of us live with some level of fear, of apprehension, and it's change that makes us look at what we might lose. Security or health or relationship. And sometimes it exposes the fear of getting what we want. But in the midst of all of that, Jesus' word to us is, do not be afraid. Those words don't magically erase fear. Instead, they give us the courage to take the next faithful step in spite of fear. We aren't called to be fearless. We're called to be faithful. Courage isn't the absence of fear, but trust in the one who speaks that greater word. I don't know what changes you're facing. I know mine. Wherever we find ourselves, whether it's on a mountaintop or it's in some valley, the words remain the same. Listen to him. Be raised up. Do not be afraid. What if these aren't just comforting phrases, but holy wisdom for times of change? What if this is how we step into our own transfigurations? We often assume that Jesus is the only one who has changed on that mountaintop. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became dazzling white. But maybe another change, perhaps an even deeper change, happened in Peter and James and John. Maybe their eyes were opened. Perhaps their seeing was transfigured. Matthew tells us when they looked up after Jesus touched them, they saw Jesus himself alone. And maybe that's the point. Not that Jesus became something new, but that the disciples began to see him as he had always been, illumined with divine light. Every season of life is filled with God's presence. The mountaintop doesn't erase the valley, and the valley doesn't negate the mountaintop. Both are held within the purposes of God. The transfiguration doesn't remove the cross. It prepares the disciples to walk toward it in trust. It anchors them. It roots them. It grounds them in the truth of who Jesus is before everything begins to fall apart. That is what is offered to us. When change comes, and it will, there is a voice greater than all of the noise. There's a touch that lifts us from the ground. There is a word that is stronger than fear. Listen to him. Be raised up. Do not be afraid. These are the handholds for the mountains and the valleys alike. These are the words that carry us through times of change. These are the promises that steady us until, like the disciples, we lift our eyes and see Jesus in our very midst. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.